But I'm gonna tell you the subject tonight is a subject that you think you've got mastered, and then you prove yourself wrong, bad. And I've been guilty of that. And so I've been feeling for months. I've just been observing, you know, in my travels and my prayers, going to church and praying for folks, being in service. You know, this is not like, you know, it's going any public place. There's something goes on at the house of God every time we gather. You know, sometimes we think it's got to be noisy and a lot of movement before anything's going on, but that's really not the way it always is. God is moving even tonight, and I like shouting. I like the Pentecostal way. I like yielding to God and feeling His presence, shouting, dancing, hooping and hollering, clapping my hands. I like that, you know. But I want the Lord to move tonight, any way He wants to move. But I've noticed that I'm going to read a few verses and. And the subject tonight, you'll see, is a little difficult. But I'm going to read several verses, but I think the first place I want to read is Ephesians 4. And then... if you want to read with me, Ephesians 4 and 32. Now, this is going to be old time preaching tonight, and old timey preaching. It's going to be so tight that it's going to squeak like that pew back there. The brother Ratliff told me, I called him today, the pew company, and I said, I got a pew, at least one that squeaks. And I said, and there's people trying to sleep in there, and it's disturbing them. He said, we can't have that. So he said he'd get right on it in about a month. So I said, can you tell me how to fix it without you coming? And he gave me an idea. If anybody's got a cordless drill and a square-headed bit, there's four screws holding that brace in there, and they need to be backed out and put back in. He said that might take care of it. So go ahead. You're welcome. I don't have the square-headed bit. So anyway, praise God. I want you to look at verse 32. Ephesians 4 and 32. And be ye, is that what yours says? And be ye kind. What kind? That ain't what it said. It said, be ye kind one to another. Now notice this. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, you can see why I got up here and gave you the little deal about, you know, don't think, because I'll tell you, being kind is you don't need to make excuses, are they? But it's tough sometimes, ain't it? You don't think it is? And why don't I feel more kindness than I do? Huh? Now, I'm going to preach to you a little bit here. The Bible in Proverbs, well, go to 1 Corinthians 13. And you know what this all, you know these scriptures. Charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. But charity suffereth long and is kind. Amen. How many remembers Proverbs 31? It talks about this great woman. And it talks about, you know, that she has a law in her tongue. How many knows the law of what? The law of kindness. Amen. Is in her tongue. How many knows that the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath? See how quiet it is? I knew I shouldn't even try this tonight. But I felt compelled. I was just praying a few days ago, and I'm telling you, God touched me like I've been preaching for a long time. And I preach a lot of sermons. Amen. And sometimes I get a touch, Brother Zane, so powerful that it brings tears out of me. Just before I can get a control of myself, I'm just weeping. And that's the way this message did me. When I just, these scriptures came to my heart, and this thought came to my heart. And I know what we're geared up for. We're geared up for a message like we've never heard before. You know, 3 points, a beautiful poem, and a few good illustrations, a lot of movement and dynamics. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, this sermon I'm preaching to you tonight is so needed. Amen. That I wish I could get anointed. Amen. To preach this to you tonight. God requires of us, amen, to be kind one to another. Now, does anybody have any trouble with the definition of kindness? No. Amen. We don't. We know exactly what it is. It's not the definition of kindness that holds us up. It's the demonstration of kindness. Amen. Why should we? Why should we? Amen. Worry about it. Come on now. Why should we worry about it? For one, it is godly. Come on now. I said it is godly to be kind. Praise God. What did the text say? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. I tell you, God has been so kind to me that there's no way I'd be a hypocrite. Amen. If I didn't strive to be kind to others, because God, amen, has been kind to me. Oh, y'all gonna help me, aren't you? Praise God. If there's anything, when you're raising your children up, and if your children, aren't kind to each other, does it trouble you? You know, when they, I know they're gonna wrestle and carry on, but if I ever felt, and I'll tell you, if you'll really pray about raising your children, God will inspire you when to discipline them. Well, y'all not with me tonight, are you? You say he will? Yes, he will. You will feel an inclination in you, an inspiration in you, when there's a behavior there, amen, that is ungodly and needs to be corrected. Now, a lot of times people get all tore up over disciplining their kids, and they make a bunch of rules, and every time they look cross-eyed, they slap them straight again. Huh? I'm talking about in the real discipline. Amen. God will lead you. You'll know when that's an ungodly act. And I'm going to tell you, when your children or any children, when they get into school or out on the playground, amen, and children aren't kind to each other, amen, you know what? You know right off that they don't have the right spirit in them, because the spirit of Christ, amen, is kindness. Can you say amen? Anybody disagree with that, you can tell me later. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we need to be kind one to another. Amen. Because Christ was kind. Amen. He was gentle. The Bible says, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He was full of love. And the Bible says, amen, that love suffereth long and is kind. Oh, help me preach a little bit here. You talk about a revival. I'm going to tell you how we can have revival. We can have a revival by sweetening up a little bit. You can draw a whole lot more flies with honey than you can vinegar. And I'll tell you how you can convince somebody that you've really got old-time religion. Amen. If you get a softer tongue and a more gentle spirit about you. I knew you wasn't going to like this. Amen. And you're going to think I'm not even kind. Amen. But I'm compelled to preach. Amen. When I feel inspired, I've got to preach. We need a revival. Amen. Come on. And it'll start with our tongue. And it'll start with our heart. And it'll start with our kind words. And it'll start with our kind deeds. And a revival will start when we begin to think of somebody else besides ourselves. Can you say amen? Now the Bible said that they would know that we were Christ's disciples by our love one toward another. That is a hint. Praise God. You know, we're just about out of control. We just about do what we want to do. You know why we do and act and let our emotions get the best of us? Huh? You know why we think what we want to think and do what we want to do? We're not praying. That's right. You pray through every morning, you'll walk soft. Amen. That's right. I've seen people talk to their wives like they were talking to an old blue tick hound. Huh? You wonder, who in the world are they talking about? You think, man, the dog's done got in the hen house, and they're trying to scare him out, and it was their wife they were talking to. Huh? Come on now. Boy, it's going to get tight in here, ain't it? Hey, you want me to preach on the internet or something, don't you? I'm going to tell you something. We got a big problem with the internet, but we got a big problem with cruelty, too. Amen. People that don't care for one another and aren't kind one to another. Amen. Come on now. I tell you what, we need a revival. Amen. Where we get contagiously kind. Amen. One to another. Where we prefer one another. You believe I'm preaching you the Bible? I told you it's going to get tight. I'm preaching you an old-time holiness message. When I first got saved, they preached to me, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast lost or left thy first love. I tell you what, you're not a child of God if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in your life. Brother Scotty, sorry. Sorry you had to come hear this. But it's old pastor. I felt that. And I'll tell you what happened to me. We'll talk. Take my time. We ain't got nowhere to go. Praise God. And I don't know if it's ever happened to you, Brother Scotty, or not, you preachers. But I felt God deal with me greatly about this. There's so many stressful things came up. I struggle with it. And Brother Zane, this message was like it got lost in the fog. How many have seen the fog? Was it this morning the fog was too thick, Brother Charlie? Hey, man, I know preachers are human. If you want a preacher that's not a human, you'll have to go to Mars. Preachers are human. This sermon, I felt so compelled to preach this to my church. And Brother, it got lost in the fog. And I knew it was there, and I couldn't even get it back in my mind. You say, well, man, that ain't nothing. I forget the store list. I'm talking about something spiritual. I'm talking about something God told me to preach, and I lost it. And I went back to prayer, and a preacher called me, and I said, Brother, listen, I need prayer. And he said, what's the matter? I said, well, I've got a sermon that God eat me up with. We need so bad. And I said, I've been under so much pressure and I've been so busy and the devil is fighting me. I said, that sermon is lost somewhere. And I said, I feel compelled. Amen. And I just got in prayer and I said, now Lord, I know you think this is strange. I said, now Lord, I know you wanted me to preach that sermon, but I've lost that sermon out of my heart. Amen. And you know, I got up the next morning in prayer. Amen. And other things that was going against me, but that sermon came back in me. Amen. And brother, I lifted my hand, and I realized when it come back, I said, that might have been the devil trying to make me lose this sermon. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you want to take the test, amen, come on now. If you want to take the test of your religion, take the old tongue test. Amen. That is an acidic test. Amen. If that tongue is sharp and cruel and biting, amen, you need to go back to the altar. Are you listening to me? And I don't care how long your sleeves are. Help me preach now. Amen. And I think we ought to be modestly dressed. But can I tell you, the Bible said if we cannot bridle our tongue, our religion is in vain. We need to speak kind words one to another. Are you listening to me? Amen. God said let our words be seasoned with grace. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible is full of it. You say, but what if somebody does me wrong? Amen. They did Christ wrong. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you, when you see Christ, amen, dying for you, as low down as you were, it ought to put a little gumption in you to forgive somebody else. Come on now, children, help me preach a little bit here tonight. Now listen, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Man, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, help me preach a little bit. My favorite characters is Joseph. I'm telling you, a type of Christ, Brother Needham, he was. Amen. He was just a teenage boy, and he had a dream. God was showing him the future. And he was naive enough to tell his hard-hearted brothers. And they were so cruel. They mocked him. They said, here comes the dreamer. Amen. They were shaming him. They hurt his feelings. They slandered him. And then they grabbed him and threw him in a pit. They're going to leave him here to die. One of them finally said, let's don't kill him. Amen. Here comes some Midianites, a caravan. They took that young teenage boy out, amen, and sold him as a human slave. And they carried him into Egypt. Are you listening to me? Woo, I feel like preaching to you a little bit. Amen. They carried him into Egypt. He spent time in prison. He was betrayed every way you could turn. Amen. And then 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. God gave Joseph the wisdom. But I'll tell you what, Joseph had even more than wisdom. He had a tender heart. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes. Those brethren came down. He recognized them, but they did not recognize him. Amen. They brought Benjamin down. Amen. He looked at Benjamin. He looked at those brethren. And the Bible said that he went into a private room and hid himself and wept. Amen. Because of his love for his brethren and the fact that they were there and he was going to be able to forgive them. You read the last verse, I believe it is, or next few last verses of chapter 50, and he told his brethren, amen, the Bible said he told them, don't worry about what you did to me. Amen. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He said, I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to take care of your children. And it said that he spoke kindly, amen, unto his brethren. Oh, I tell you what, we need a sanctifying experience in our life that'll take the meanness out of us. Are you listening to me? That'll take the fight out of us. That'll take the quarreling out of us. And it'll cause us to speak sound, quiet, humble words to one another. Oh, somebody help me preach. I prayed about this. Amen. And I'll just be honest with you. God dealing with me and you and Brother Zane, if I have to wait a whole week or two to preach this, if I don't pray and be real cautious, I'll say something out of the way before I get to preach. You say, boy, you're a heathen. Takes one to know one. Talking about your words coming back to hit you in the face. Praise God. Come on now. Amen. You say, well, that's just the way I am. I know. We need a change. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, if the grace of God can't go beyond their personalities and their raising, the grace of God ain't much, is it? Come on now. But I'll tell you what, the Bible, amen, is able to help us to have a tender spirit, amen, to those about us, even those that have done us wrong. Amen, you say you can, it ain't easy, but God is great, and He's almighty. I wish somebody would say amen. I'm preaching on kindness, amen, kind words, kind deeds. The Bible said Joseph spoke kindly to his brethren. I was a preacher tonight. I feel like preaching to you. Why should we? Why should we be kind? Because it's Christ-like. And He's our example. Because it's godly. And God is our example. Am I preaching right or not? How many of you, amen, right today, I can, as a little old boy, I went to funerals of older people. And people didn't even know me, who I was. And I went there because the person in that box up there had been kind to me when I was a little old tow-headed boy. And kindness was very scarce. Amen. And I'd read it in the paper. Old sister, old lady, so-and-so may not even been a child of God at that sense. And I went there looking, paying my due. She wasn't there. They're gone. Amen. Are you going to help me preach? I'm going to tell you something. We need to fill these pews. I'll tell you what else we need to do besides fill these pews. The ones that are here, we need to fill them with kindness. Huh? We drift apart. We're in a culture that is private and personal and have their own deal and give me my space and stay away from me. Amen. Don't be meddling. Don't be asking me no questions. Just stay away. How many knows that's the way we live? Huh? That's right. But I'll tell you what, in doing that, praise God, I heard people say, and it breaks my heart to hear them say it. They say, I'll never get close to anybody again. Amen. I've been hurt, and I'll never get close to anybody again. Oh, don't put a death sentence on yourself. Amen, because you're not really living. Amen, until you get the love of God in your heart where you can speak kindness and charity and love and be long-suffering, waiting patiently. We're so on edge, even in church, the preacher has to just watch his words. Amen, it makes you nervous when people run to the tape booth to get a tape. You're wondering if they're waiting to see if he really said what I think he said. That makes you a little bit nervous. Amen, I'll tell you something. We need to quit having a chip on our shoulder. Amen. Come on now. Amen. We need to come to church and practice brotherly love and brotherly kindness and tenderheartedness. I'll tell you, we're missing it in the movement. We're missing it in the house of God. Amen. We don't hardly know anything about one another. Amen. If we get sick, amen, we don't even want to tell one another. If we get busted and we're broke, we sure don't want the church folk to know. Amen. They'll scorn us the rest of our life. Brother, we are in bad shape. If there's anywhere in the world we ought to be able to come and confess our faults one to another, it's in the house of God, because they ought to be understanding. They ought to be sympathy. They ought to be mercy in the house of God. Right or not? You can't ever predict what life is going to do. Huh? They beat Paul and Silas. Throw them into jail. The jailer was given orders. You keep an eye on these boys. He put them in the innermost prison, locked the door, went back out of the office and put his feet up. Amen. All of a sudden, he was sitting back there old cruel, mean sergeant of the guard probably just had his hand on a whip and laid the back of them old preachers. You say, I don't go on today. No, all of my life, Sister Lois, I don't know why it is, but ever since I've been a preacher, there's this little premonition. I know this is strange. Amen. But I don't know how many years it's been, but this little premonition passed through and just of being shot. Huh? And I know it's not physical. I don't reckon. It's spiritual. And I will tell you, when you become a preacher, when God calls you to preach, the devil puts a bullseye on you. Pardon me, sir. God bless you. Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I wasn't thinking. God bless you. Huh? God spared you. I know he did. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The devil has his sights on you. Huh? You know, Paul and Silas got in there and got to singing. I'm telling you, and I've said this before, I tell you, old Polycarp was burned at stake and still served the Lord, and we won't hardly serve him if we get heartburn. Huh? Y'all sure are quiet tonight. Huh? How many like to be fishing right now? Oh, yeah. I'm going to preach to you a little bit. You know what happened? About midnight, they heard Paul and Silas singing and praising God, and God sent an earthquake. Help me now. Shook that jailhouse open. Amen. And that jailer ran in there with a lantern. Amen. He come in there. I wish we could have revival where somebody would get a lantern and come in and see what was going on. Amen. It wouldn't be hard to preach a revival, Brother Noah, when people come in and say, amen, tell me what I must do to be saved. Well, about anybody here, even those that ain't even saved real good, could tell them how to get saved. Are you going to help me preach? You know what the Bible said about that jailer? Woo! Feel like preaching to my church tonight. You know what the Bible said, that jailer? Amen. Fell down and got right with God. And you know what the Bible said the next thing he did, Brother Steve? Amen. The Bible said that he dressed their wounds. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. I preach Sunday night. Amen. On a wounded world. Amen. You get converted just right. You won't be whipping people with a whip. You'll be healing their wounds. Amen. That's what makes a change in your life. You gotta be converted. Hallelujah. Preaching right or not? I'll preach a few more minutes now. Woo! Feel the Holy Ghost in here. Amen. You don't know, young men, and I'll tell you, God, hey, ain't no enemy telling you all the bad things that could happen to you. You already know that. But I'll tell you what I will tell you. There's a God that can take care of every bit. Huh? Hear me now. Woo! Becca, I appreciate you now. Amen. I'll tell you what. I don't know. I want you to know right now, children. Amen. Life may bring you a storm, but that don't take the love of God out of your heart. There's nothing can separate us from the love of God. I said nothing. The Bible told us about the works of the flesh and how they were not inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, love, and joy, and peace. Amen. What? Temperance and gentleness and kindness and amen. These are fruit of the Spirit. And then it says, against such there is no law. Amen. Come on. Amen. Help me preach a little bit. There is a law of kindness. Amen. That trumps the law of the flesh. Can you say amen? Amen. You cannot legislate somebody to love you. Amen. And if they really love you, you can't legislate them to not love you. How many is understanding what I'm saying? Brother, you get the love of God in your heart. It's in there in the storm, it's in there in the sunshine, it's in there when you're broke, and it's in there when you've got plenty. Oh, I wish I was a preacher tonight. Help me preach a few more minutes. The Bible said it. Paul was on a stormy sea, 276 souls with him, I believe. That ship busted completely apart. Out in the middle of nowhere. Amen. Mutiny was considered. Paul said, lest these abide in the ship, all shall perish. They stayed in and rode her out at the man of God's word. It busted completely apart. Sails ripped and masts torn. Utter gone. Everything gone. Amen. They escaped to land. Help me preach a minute. Come on now. They escaped to land. Some on board, some swam for their life. Every last soul got out of that sea up on a cold, rainy shore. You know what they found? Help me preach a minute. Come on, church. You know what they found? There in the distance, they saw a bonfire going. Now, I don't know how you feel, but I'll tell you what, when it's really cold, I don't need no heat pump. I'd like to have a fire going in the old Vermont. And I'll tell you what I like about it, Brother Don. Hey, man, cut me a load of wood next year, will you? Give me a spare one for me. You know what I like? It's just something about it. Brother Eric, when I come in and look over at that old fire, and I'll sleep there on the couch at night, and I'll watch so I can feed that old fire, and got a glass door on the front, and it's one of them Vermont. Can I do a commercial right here? It's got the baffle in it, and it's a slow burner. It'll last 8 hours. Fill it up with hardwood. Cut the old damper on, down. And I like to look over there on them cold mornings, and I'll look in that glass door, and I'll see if that flame is still burning. It don't matter how cold it is outside. I can glance at that fire, amen, and feel warm already. Somebody help me preach. Paul and them 276 souls, they climbed up out of that ocean, amen, out of that sea, wet and cold, had been fasting and weak, and they saw a bonfire burning upon the shore. Woo! What would you have done? I ain't going up there. I don't know them people. I don't know them people. I ain't going up there. Not me. I'd have been jogging up there. Huh? Hey, boys, how you doing? You know what? They were standing there. You know why they built that fire? Anybody know why that fire was built? Does anybody know? Winnie roast? Nope. Well, why was that fire built? Huh? What purpose? You know what? They built that fire for those men in that sea. Help me preach a little bit. Huh? I wonder when we come in here, do we feel a chill? Or do we see fire on the hearth? You ain't help me, are you? You know what the Bible said those people were? He called them barbarians. Barbarians showed us no little kindness. Now I love you. I don't want to fight with you. I'm too old. Can't hardly breathe. Still got torn place up here. When I get real excited, I get under stress. Can't see too clear. I just fall apart. So I don't want to fight with you. So don't even start with me, because I'll just lay down. It'll be over. Okay. But I want to do the part of the scripture right here. It says rebuke. I'm gonna do that part right here. Is that all right? Is that all right? I'm going to do the rebuking part right here. The Bible said rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering. And I've been long suffering. You just don't know how long suffering I've been. But I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to call ourselves a Christian church, we got some work to do on this kindness right here. I hope you feel rebuked. I hope you feel rebuked enough to pray through somewhere. Huh? These barbarians seen these people in their turmoil out here. And I can't. You stand right here. If I get a volunteer up here, I want, Brother Noah, come up here real quick. I know I'm embarrassing you. Can you get up? Has the Lord healed you enough to get up here all right? Come up here. Come on. I want you to help me just a minute. I feel like I'm in chapel here just a little bit. Come up here. I want you to look back here just a minute. I want you to look at the view from right here. I know you're so nervous now, you can't see nothing. Amen. But there's people out here, and I want you to look out there. Amen. They are When you look at this from this, this is the point of view of those barbarians. Were they skilled men? Were they physicians? No. Were they theologians? Ah, they were barbarians. Amen. Were they Paul's kinfolk? No, it was a foreign place. They didn't even know his name. Did they know? He didn't know anything about them. Did they think they were going to get a treasure? Did they think that they was going to get a lot of wealth? These men had nothing. Their ship was busted. Amen. And these men got together, these barbarians, and said, these men are going to need some warmth. We need to build a fire. Amen. Come on now. I'll tell you what my church ought to do. Amen. We need to quit worrying about ourselves. Amen. And start building a fire for somebody else.
You don't get this. There ain't no need of preaching. Amen. On these little outward standards. You need help in that. It's all right. I may get shot after all. I don't know.
Praise God. But I'm going to tell you. I'm compelled. Thank you, Brother Noah. But I'm going to tell you, we have another volunteer. I'd like it you look at this shipwrecked crowd from this point of view. And I'll tell you what you get a heart to do. Amen. Yeah, I got my troubles on my own. Amen. And people love me. And they say, you know, I hate to bother you with this, but that ain't the way it works. I'm a pastor here. God called me for the very thing. Amen. I'm going to share with you. Amen. And I'll tell you what we need. We need that fire of kindness. Amen. Just a kind word. Amen. There's been a lot of times, amen, I'd have sunk, Brother Zane, if somebody just didn't give me a kind word. Amen. Come on. How many of you can I tell you what, amen, the mission is? You've got to remember this. What goes around comes around. If you want kindness showed, you've got to be kind. Oh, somebody say amen. I picked up a lot of hitchhikers. Amen. Because I remembered being picked up when I was a little boy. I won't hardly pass anybody. Are you listening to me? I won't pass up a car, amen, that's broke down by the road, amen, because it might be one of mine, or it might be me, and it has been me. Are you going to help me preach a little bit? You need to get out of that, amen, mode of selfish living, amen, and be kind to those you come in contact with.
And I can do it real easy. I mean, it's a cinch. As long as you don't bother me. Then it becomes a trial. As long as you don't say something that I don't want to hear. As long as you don't do something contrary to my opinion. Then it becomes a trial.
Several years ago, a couple of boys got my scuff out here. Been years ago. I could tell you who it was. For a little money. They come upstairs and they said, Brother Randy, so-and-so's fighting. They're punching. They got me. I mean, I come down them steps like, I don't know, I was down there fast. Killed me. Boy, I'm telling you, when I got out there, them guys, I mean, they scattered. Huh? One boy is a preacher now, and years ago, he said, Brother Randy, I've never seen you look like that. You scared me. You know what got me? Here we are trying to have a Christian school and boys trying to hurt each other. Got me. It got me. I was so mad. Mad? Mad. Anointed mad. That I didn't need it. I remember it very well. You say, well, it happens all the time. No, it doesn't. I couldn't even open my mouth wide enough to speak to him, Brother Zane. You say, boy, you sound violent. No, I didn't. Amen. But we had to take care of that. It wouldn't have hurt me no worse if they'd have been shooting drugs. Y'all didn't agree with that. That old mean hate and spirit is worse than heroin. You say heroin's good? Oh, no, you know how bad heroin is. But that old fighting, murdering spirit. Ah, they're just boys. Boys will be boys. And boys can go to hell. Okay. Huh? Can they or not? Can these boys right here? Can these young ladies be lost? Can you? Go to heaven hating one another? Can we go to heaven beating on one another? This may be it, Brother Steve. We're kind of holding this place together to get you a new pastor in here. The reason I felt compelled, the reason I preach this, I felt utterly compelled. I lost it. I knew it was the enemy. But the Lord impressed me again. We're in this hour. The Bible said, because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. Has it happened to you? Huh? How many thinks I preached a holiness message tonight? How many thinks we need it? There's never, listen, there ain't never a time that kindness doesn't work. Do you hear what I'm saying? Charity never fails. That's what the Bible said. It never fails. Won't you lift your hands? Ask the Lord to help me here tonight. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know why, but it so affects me. And I know I'm wearing you out. Is that 10 o'clock or 9? 9. But I can hear a story. I can just read something where somebody just out of their way, Sister Lois, does a kind deed for somebody. And I find myself wiping tears. Are y'all like that? Just a kind deed. Just somebody just sympathetic with you, Brother Needham, when it looks like you ain't got a friend in the world and somebody just sympathetic with you. Huh? Oh, y'all not helping me. Kindness. That woman in Proverbs 31, the Bible says she has the law of kindness. She lived under that law. I will not, amen, yield to a law other than kindness in my tongue. You say, well, preacher, it's too late. I have to. Do you know what? Y'all want to do it with me? You want to practice? Please forgive me. That hurt? Oh, let's try it again. Please forgive me. Many years ago, and I've told this, I'm going to tell it again. Many years ago, a fellow got out with me, and could tell he was out with me. So I said, well, I prayed about it, and I felt like Brother Needham, how the Lord tells you things that, you have to do. I felt him tell me I needed to go and ask him to forgive me. So I said, no problem. No problem. So I got in the car and I headed to his house. And I was talking to the Lord and I said, now, You know, I ain't done nothing to him, but if you want me to ask forgiveness, I will. It ain't no big deal for me. I'm a Christian. Sanctified. Holiest man. I'm going to go ask him to forgive me. I know I didn't do nothing to him, but I'll ask him. Ain't no big deal. Lord told me that. About halfway to the house, Lord, Brother Needham said, pull over right here. I pulled over to the side. He said, I'm going to talk to you. This old stuff, I never did anything. And if I did anything, you might as well turn around and go back to the house. That ain't what I sent you up here for. Lord, had me a little prayer meeting, blowing my nose and crying. Huh? So when I finally got to the fella's house, I said, brother, it is obvious that I have hurt you badly. And I want you to forgive me. You say, that was easy? Huh. Took about a half an hour prayer meeting. The Lord holding a gun right to the nape of my neck right here. And it wasn't none of that. If I've ever done anything to offend you, don't you just love that? Somebody's been spitting right on you for 2 years. And they say, if I've ever done anything, you want to say, if you don't know what you've done, you're brain dead and you don't need to say a thing. Oh, in a normal way. Huh? But that old stuff, if I've ever done it, I'm going to tell you, we are an offensive people. We need the Lord to forgive us. We do. Don't we? Am I preaching right or not? All right, let's stand. God bless you. You say, boy, you really jumped on us tonight. I didn't really. I didn't really. I preached you the right thing. What the Lord's been dealing with me for 2 weeks to talk to you about. Amen or longer. I lost it in the fog. I told that one brother, I said, pray that this sermon will come out of the fog where I can get it to my people. And boy, it did, didn't it? Did you get it? How many thinks there's some work you could do on it?